listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are talking about hashtag adulting. What does that mean? We see it in social media all the time. Our guest today to help us take a look at this from their own personal experience, from their own lives as adults. What does hashtag adulting mean for them and making that transition from youth to adult? What does that look like? Joining me by phone today, Naomi and Matthias Wohlberg. Naomi, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you for having us.
Matthias, thanks so much for being my guest today. Thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, tell me a little bit about where you grew up. We'll start with Naomi. Where are you from originally?
Well, that's a bit of a complicated question because my dad is also a pastor. And so we lived in a couple different places. I was born in South Dakota. I lived in Arkansas for 6 years. And then I grew up in southern Minnesota for the most part. And that's kind of where I consider home to be, since that was where I was the longest and probably the most influential time in my life.
And was that during your high school years? Were your high school years there?
Yes, they were. I moved there when I was 8 years old and then stayed all the way up to college and lived with my parents and my two older brothers. One of my brothers still lives in Minnesota and we go visit there sometimes. So we love it there.
How about you, Matthias?
Mine's more simple, I suppose. I grew up in central Nebraska. Kearney is the town. And, I have an older brother and two older sisters. I'm the youngest of four. My dad, he was in church work. He was a director of Christian education for a little while. And that's actually what brought us to Kearney. Upon graduating from high school, I moved to Seward, Nebraska, where I attended Concordia there. And that's actually where I met Naomi.
What was high school like? What was life in high school like? Think back. Take yourselves back to those high school days. And what was life like? What was responsibility like? What were your responsibilities back in high school? We'll start with Matthias.
In high school, I don't know. I didn't have a whole lot of responsibility. Living with my parents, I suppose. A lot less than I do now. But I had a job. I went to classes, so pretty typical responsibilities for a high schooler, I think.
How about you, Naomi? How would you describe life in high school?
Well, I went to a public high school, and I think that overall it was a really good experience for me. There wasn't anybody at my high school who went to the same church as me, and so I didn't really have friendships that way. I kind of had to find other ways to build friendships other than just youth group. And so that kind of expanded my, my interest. I mean, different like cultural things and art things. So I was really involved in high school. I was in sports and choir and band and plays to get friends and to discover what I really liked doing. And so I suppose with all of those came responsibility to balance them and to do my homework. And my parents definitely didn't let me get away with not helping out at home. So I had a list of chores to do there and keeping everything up in my own room and that kind of typical high school stuff. So I thought at the time it was very stressful. Now I realize that it wasn't quite as stressful as I thought it was, but yeah, it was a good experience.
So let's talk about when did you start realizing you're making this transition to adult life? Was it college? Was it after college? When did the adulthood reality start to set in for you, Naomi?
Well, I think that I thought as soon as I went to college, I moved to a completely different state, and I couldn't go home on the weekends just whenever I wanted to. And I thought that that alone kind of meant I was living an adult life. I could choose where I went whenever I wanted and what I wanted to eat or whatever. And I thought that that sort of freedom of choice meant being an adult. Now, looking back, I think that that was only a small part of it. And I hadn't quite realized how many responsibilities were coming at me, which is a hard lesson that I learned throughout college. Less of choice and more of actually doing what I was supposed to be doing, whether I wanted to choose to do it or not. So I think that was definitely a lesson hard learned throughout college.
How about you, Matthias? When did the reality of adulthood start to set in? When did you think that you were becoming an adult?
I would say for me, it's kind of been a pretty slow and smooth transition. I would say even starting back in confirmation that the transition sort of began there. Currently, I'm a seminary student, so my focus, you know, right now is on becoming a pastor. And I've had that in mind ever since middle school. And even in high school, I came to some seminary programs in Fort Wayne. And then in college, I was in the pre-seminary program. So that's really kind of been at the core of it for me of getting to where I am now as an adult. So I would say it's been a smooth transition from middle school all the way up till now. And gaining, of course, more responsibility along the way, especially going into college and living on my own, living in the dorms, that kind of life. And then that transition into being married and having a child as well. So it's been a pretty slow one, which has been good, I think, a smooth transition.
When you see hashtag adulting in social media, what comes to mind? What do you think of when you see that in social media, Naomi?
I think it's kind of funny, actually, because hashtag adulting seems the opposite of what being an adult feels like, because that, I think, kind of makes it seem like another inconvenience of, oh, I have, you know, a paper due soon. Or it just seems a lot like it minimizes what encompasses actually having to take care of yourself, but also for a complete another person, and really, really letting go of yourself. And so, honestly, when I see hashtag adulting, I mostly laugh and say, oh, it's a lot more than that. Like, it's not something that I could just hashtag and that gets my stress out, and then I'm good to go.
What do you think, Matthias, when you see hashtag adulting?
Yeah, I would agree with my wife. It's pretty funny to see. At first it's kind of a laugh, like, oh, you know, we never had to deal with these kinds of things before, you know, paying bills and things like that. Hashtag adulting, I guess. It's kind of funny at first, but after a while, I guess it does seem a little immature. I don't know, maybe that's too negative of a spin on it, but it's just kind of what you do. I mean, before us, obviously our parents didn't have social media and stuff, so I'm sure they complained and griped about that transition as well, and maybe it just took on a different form. So perhaps it's not even really that new of a concept. That'd be an interesting thing to look into, I guess.
You're right. Social media adds a whole dimension, a whole new dimension to this generation, doesn't it, when it comes to how we communicate, how we interact, and even it shapes our worldview, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's talk more about making that transition to adulthood. What were, as you're making that transition into adulthood, were there things that about being an adult that you found surprising? Like, why didn't anybody tell me about this?
I'll just jump in and go first. I definitely feel that way a lot. And I don't know if I just wasn't paying attention when people were actually teaching me things such as paying taxes and, you know, getting on insurance, things like that. I don't remember there being a class in high school. And I remember my parents certainly telling me about those things, telling me that I'm going to need to be responsible for those things. But I don't remember actually learning the step-by-step process of it. And so that's something that, kind of took me by surprise and was a big transition. And it still is, honestly. I mean, we've been out of college for almost 2 years, but I'm still learning really those very basic adult things.
It could be daunting navigating the world of taxes or insurance, certainly. And you're right. So there aren't that many classes in high school that really teach you those things. Those are things that perhaps you can learn at home. I remember when I was in high school back in the dark ages, and we did have a class called Contemporary Living that taught about housing, whether it be rent or purchasing a home, rent or a mortgage, and also a little bit about insurance and just managing a checkbook, balancing a checkbook, those types of things. But it was only one semester out of my whole high school career, and it really encompassed a large number of things. Those were just a few of the items that were covered in that class. So we really just touched on them briefly, but when you get into those things, when you start filing taxes on your own as an adult, not a member of your parents' household anymore, filling out all those forms, that can be daunting, can't it?
Absolutely. And I had the same experience. I had a one semester class, and the thing that I took away from it is how to make monkey bread. I mean, I remember learning how to balance a checkbook, but all of those things, we briefly touched on. And so when it came to forms and forms staring up at me with a lot of phrases I didn't know, luckily I have parents who are very patient and will answer all of my questions, but it's daunting.
That's funny. We learned how to make biscuits from scratch, not quite monkey bread, but
still a useful tool.
So we took a similar class. And so when you touch on it briefly, that's somewhat helpful. So, but you're right. Having that hands-on experience is even more valuable. Thanks be to God, as you pointed out, for parents who are willing to help walk you through all and answer the questions that you have along the way. But perhaps they had to learn by experience as well, and so may not be familiar with all those terms also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's something that's maybe different between our generations, and maybe this isn't true, but it seems that me and some of my peers, we need more of that step-by-step hand-holding a bit. And I, knowing my mother, and maybe that's just her personality, but she seems to be a go-getter, and she knows how to find those steps herself. And sometimes I feel like that's a tool that I'm really lacking. And maybe that's not a generational thing. Maybe that's something I just need to work on. But it's very interesting.
Matthias, were there things about making that transition, or are there things about making that transition into adult life that that were very eye-opening for you?
I like to try and let Naomi take all of the hard stuff, so I don't really just deal with those things. I think you guys both make a good point. In high school, those classes, especially regarding taxes and those things, you only get so much, and you're in high school, so how much are you really paying attention anyway? But then also, I mean, I guess one even bigger one is having a child. Can anybody ever really teach you, how to raise a child? Some of these things, I guess, you just have to learn through experience. And there's some good things to that. And I think, we learn from our parents, obviously, how they raised us. But there's just, there's no really concrete formal way of teaching us how to do certain things. They just kind of happen to you, and you kind of learn how to do it along the way, I guess.
So for example, when, you share with someone that your family is growing and, when you expect your baby to be born and, or to join your family and they share things like, oh, sleep now. You don't really grasp what that means until a baby comes along.
Right, yeah, I think that is something that I certainly heard a lot, along with many other things. And I think there's kind of two parts to that. No, I didn't know what that actually meant. Last night I was up 3 or 4 different times. I don't really remember. It was a little foggy with our 7-month-old. But I was maybe naive, but there's also such a negative connotation with that, in the same way that they don't teach you how to deal with the responsibilities that are maybe more negative. There also seems to be this consistency of complaining and of only viewing the responsibilities as a negative thing. And so I heard a lot of, oh, make sure you sleep now. And I got kind of defensive, like, well, there's going to be really wonderful things to having a kid too. They're not all bad. Otherwise we wouldn't all keep having them. And so There's really two parts to that, I think. Yes, I was naive, and there's some things that you just need to learn on your own, but I think there could also be a change in attitude with responsibility and how wonderful things come out of those responsibilities. I do think that as the hard things increase, so do the blessings.
How so? Can you give an example?
Well, sure. I would love if our daughter would sleep through the night. I mean, if she's in our backseat right now, so if you're listening, I want you to sleep. But, you know, every time that she wakes up in the night, I know that this time when she's so small and needs me so much is going to be really short. And so as tired as I am when she's up and I'm up with her, there's a part of me that wants to thank her for being awake. It's just a little bit more time together, a little bit more time to bond with her and to kind of ponder this wonderful gift that I've been given, and having a daughter and being able to love her, and also the possibilities of, you know, teaching her Christ's love and what Christ has done for her, and that her life stretches out before her, and how wonderful that is.
How about for you, Matthias, the things that, well, perhaps are negative connotations with adulthood, adulting, as the hashtag goes, but there are really positive aspects that you'd like to focus on. Are there any for you?
I don't know. I don't see, I guess, as many of the negative ones. I don't perceive of them as much in that way. I mean, obviously there are negative aspects to everything, to learning. Like, it can just be difficult sometimes, but at the end, you know, you've learned something, and there's a reward in that. And so, yeah, like my wife said, sometimes it is difficult having a 7-month-old, and you have to do so much for them, and they're so time-consuming, especially when you are in school. That's been my experience. That balancing act, it can be stressful, but it's definitely worth it, and knowing that we are given this daughter to fulfill our vocation as parents, and to, you know, bring forth another child of God, raise up another child of God. So it's a definitely rewarding responsibility to have.
And being a seminary family, you mentioned that you're studying at the seminary. Have you found that there are times that you feel like you're in limbo? I'm an adult, and I'm studying. I have X amount of years more to study. Do you ever feel like you're kind of stuck in between because of your vocation as a student?
Yeah, there definitely is a limbo, I guess, is a good term. Since we've really known is school, and so in a certain sense, we haven't known the real world, I guess, if you want to put it that way. We haven't been in the workforce or anything like that. So it is a little bit disorienting and trying to figure things out. But there are continuities as well, I would say. We receive a lot of support from the church and many different, several congregations. And that's the way life will be when I am a pastor as well. We'll be supported by our congregation. And that's how God will take care of us, and how he does take care of us now. And we were supported that way even through college. So there is a lot of continuity. But yeah, to answer your question, it is kind of odd being in this state and with a child as well. But it's also a very good community. I mean, the seminary community, there are a lot of young families. So we've had the opportunity to learn a lot from some guys that are second career and have a little bit older children and have been through it. And then I have classmates who are my age who've just had their first child this past summer as well. And we're kind of all in it together, and we're kind of, in a sense, shielded from the outside world, the secular world, and their views of children and all of this. So we're very happy to be in this community.
So Naomi, Matthias mentioned that his support comes from some of his peers who are the same age, kind of in the same boat, and those who are second career guys who've had children, who've raised children, and have experienced careers out in the rest of the world. What about for you? Are there who are the people that that you look to for help, or perhaps as mentors or for support?
I am incredibly lucky here at the seminary because there is already a group set in place, the Seminary Women's Assembly, where a lot of the students' wives and deaconess students and even some of the faculty wives are able to come together and really be a wonderful support for each other. I know that maybe, like Matthias said, in the so-called real world, being 23 and already being married and having a child would seem a little odd, but in this community, it's not. It's wonderful, and people view it as what it is, which is a gift from God. And the women here understand that. And like Matthias, I have friends my age who are going through the same thing, and I have friends who are 10 years older than me who have older kids who can really help me along the way and give me advice and, you know, laugh with me, but also not be condescending or going back to, see, I told you, you never get any sleep, and having a kid would, you know, ruin your life. They understand what a wonderful gift it is. And so I definitely feel that seminary community, even though I'm not a student there. I'm still part of it.
How have you adjusted to married life as adults and new schedules? You talked about children. What about simply being married as adults, going from that life as living in your parents' house and your high school schedules, your college schedules, now adjusting to shared schedules as a married couple?
Earlier I was saying it has been such a smooth transition for me to come from confirmation all the way up to this point, being in seminary. With that in mind, I would say for us too, it has kind of been a smooth transition, almost a seamless transition into marriage. And that's, I think, maybe our unique situation is that we got married right after college, and the very next day we got loaded up our car and drove to Fort Wayne. And a couple months later, we were pregnant. So it's just been a very smooth transition for us. We haven't really had time to necessarily just dwell on the fact that we were married. It's been almost organic for us, I guess. It's very, very natural.
And I would say that came even before we were married. We were really wonderful friends for a few years in college, probably one of my closest friend at college for a couple years before we even started dating. And then once we started dating, it was just kind of, we knew that eventually it was going to end up in marriage. I mean, we were such good friends and knew each other so well, and what we wanted in life and what we viewed marriage to be, that we knew if we made that transition from friends to something else, that it would eventually result in marriage. And so I think we've been very lucky with our smooth transition.
Now, as you look at your adult life, your hashtag adulting, what are the things that you think in your experience would fit that category of hashtag adulting? Or how would you redefine that hashtag adulting? Naomi?
Well, I think we've already touched on a lot of the things that when I think adulting, it is those small things. I had to change my name after I got married. So I had to, you know, go to the Social Security office and go through all those papers. And to me, that wasn't something that was really fun. And so I would, you know, say, hey, I got my name changed, hashtag adulting. That seems like a very adult thing to do. It almost seems like the things that we've all seen adults do in movies. You know, I've seen adults get married in movies, and I've seen adults change their names or talk about paying bills or figure out where they're going to live. You know, are they going to rent an apartment or a house, things like that. And it almost seems like adulting things are very outside of myself. I can't believe that I'm here in this place where I am married and have a child and I'm living so apart from my parents. So in my mind, it's like a movie almost. It's like, oh, I've seen adults do that in movies. And so that's a hashtag adulting experience.
Oh, wait, I'm in that movie now.
Exactly. It's a very odd experience. And that's I think, when the rolling of the eyes comes in and I say, oh, it's not as fun or it's not as glamorous. It's not like a movie. It's real life and it can be a lot harder, but also a lot better.
So is it a comedy or a drama or sci-fi?
All the above, I guess. It all is just a little weird. But like Matthias had said, we haven't had time to dwell on things. Like maybe we've been so busy, we haven't had time to dwell on the fact of, wow, we're married. What does that mean for us? I kind of feel like at this point in our lives, we're kind of going through everything in that way. We don't really sit and think about all of these things that we're going through ourselves. We're just doing them. We're just, you know, checking things off and living life and trying to enjoy it and live out our vocations the best we can. And so that has helped in the, you know, rooting us in reality.
So perhaps it's not until, perhaps until retirement or until the kids are grown up and moving on to their adult lives that you'll have time to sit back and really reflect on it.
Yeah, I suppose so. And even then, I hope that we're still, you know, finding new things to do and, mm-hmm. and new things to busy ourselves with and enjoy.
We have just about a minute left. Matthias, anything you'd like to add to the hashtag adulting experience in your life?
Yeah, no, I think that the living in a movie that Naomi said, or that you're finally realizing that it's a reality to you, it's a good analogy. And I think even thinking back to when I learned the catechism and the table of duties, there's, you know, certain things in there, like regarding the sixth commandment in marriage and the fourth commandment about paying taxes, you know, honoring authorities in that manner. Those are things, you know, you're an eighth grader or middle schooler and you don't really know what those things are. But it really does, I think, prepare you. Now we're kind of realizing that aspect of the table of duties, and, you know, the other side of the fourth commandment of honoring your father and your mother, of being that father and being that mother. And what you know, we owe to our daughter and what we will owe to our future children as well.
Indeed. Thanks for bringing us back to the catechism. Great, great point. Well, thanks so much to my guests, Naomi and Matthias Wohlberg. Thanks so much for sharing your perspective as fairly new adults in this hashtag adulting experience. Thanks for joining us on Faith and Family. God's blessings on your studies and your time at the seminary.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you so much.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.